Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
#WAW. What a week.
The weather is somewhat manic. The news headlines speak of wars, and there are politicians jumping around and also falling over themselves in their moving and shaking. And many people are still trying to come to terms with their work schedules. So the world is pretty much the same as when we left you to take a break from recording. It kind of makes it easier to start again. So welcome to a new year with Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow, What a Week.
What a Week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
And in the last episode, we gave into a ton of demands to have Fresh in the interviewee seat. And as the person on the other side throwing in the questions at him, he asked me to take over, and we had such an amazing response. But people actually wanted more, so we figured, you know what, let's give into the nagging. So welcome back to the Wow What a Week interview with DJ Fresh Part 2 with myself, Lula Odiva. Hey, Uncle Fresh!
Lula, how you doing?
I'm great. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. It's so dope seeing you behind that little desk.
I love
it. It's like you're a kid who's discovered a factory of sweets. I'll buy you one.
Thank you.
No, no, I'll actually buy you one so you can start doing your own podcast at home in your new apartment with
my baby girl. Uncle Fresh, I'm sure like you saw interview AI Cat Williams, right?
I saw Cat Williams interview, yes.
Yeah. We're going to try and bring that smoke, right?
Why are we bringing smoke, dude?
Yeah, I care about those views, dude.
Jesus, what it is. Okay. I thought we were just here to get up close and personal.
But we are.
If you want smoke, I'll give you smoke.
Let's get it. So last time we spoke about your dating life. We spoke about religion, your children, your relationship with your father, you know, fitness. And you're looking even younger than what you were the last time I saw you. How's that going?
You know what? I think I've become a running and walking addict.
Oh.
So every day I must do 5Ks. But I've also realized that it helps clear my mind.
Mm.
So whenever I'm feeling a bit heavy, I just take a walk.
Mm.
And after the walk, I feel so much lighter. It's actually incredible. I mean, we went away to Hard to Be a Sport with the kids last week.
Mm.
So it was myself, my ex-wife, and the kids. Bruce Willis and Demi Moore and what's his name? Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
No, you need to reach a point where you can go on vacation with your kids and your ex, and it's not a thing. Mm. It shouldn't be a thing. It shouldn't have to be a thing. I think we need to normalize relationships like that.
Yeah.
That it's okay. And we need to normalize it at a level where people don't even stop to think, these ones are back together.
Yeah, these ones
or
are
these
smashing.
Ones are smashing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think we need maturity levels at that level.
Yeah.
Even in our thinking about other people's relationships. But I digress. And I mean, I remember we were on holiday. But I was up at 5 taking a run.
Yo, even on holiday?
Every morning at 5, I was taking a run.
Damn.
So yeah, man.
And in your family, are you the only one who's like invested in health, or are you instilling it in your whole family as well?
Let me tell you where it comes from.
Mm.
My dad, from when I was born, played tennis every single Sunday.
Mm.
My dad is 83. He stopped playing tennis probably only about 10 years ago.
Damn.
But even now at 83, he wakes up in the morning and he walks.
Mm,
The evening, he walks. He's 83. So it's me trying to keep up with that. But what I love is the fact that my kids are also getting into fitness. They're also into fitness.
Yeah.
Every morning, Tato is at gym. Every morning, Tato is like, Dad, I've got a six-pack and you don't. And I'm like, you know what, dude? You're lucky you're taller than me.
So I was on Twitter.
Yeah.
It must have been a week ago. And then Musa Kaula, who also...
No, it was on Monday.
This week?
It is this week on Monday.
Can you just clear the rumors for us? Are you seeing that lady?
I'm not in a relationship with anyone. I'm not in... Okay, let me put it this way. I'm not looking, but I'm not in a relationship with anyone.
So
Kumo is my boy.
Okay.
She's like my nigga for life.
She's your dog.
And so we presented the Botswana Musicians Union Awards together December 16, 17, and we've been like inseparable since then. So again, because people always assume that because people are spending time together, they must be smashing. Obviously there'll be rumors that we're smashing. But Kuma's my boy, man.
So you're single, to be clear, and not looking?
I'm not looking. You know what's weird though? What's weird is when you go out on a like I was on a dinner date last year, in fact, I was on a dinner date. And it was weird because I haven't been on a dinner date.
A romantic.
It wasn't romantic. I mean, we had tequila and sushi.
That's romance, bro. That is romance. But go on. Mm-hmm.
So it's weird just trying to get back into the swing of things.
It's interesting because the other day I was talking about like this situation of going back into the pool of dating. And we were talking about like, especially at your age, I'm going to ask you the question I asked my friend. Mm. What are the top three questions that you're going to ask on a first date at your age? Because now, Selena Lebana, obviously, wabona the careers, the established. What are the top three questions you ask on a first date?
To tell you the honest truth, I'm not a, these are questions that you need to ask.
Okay.
Or these are boxes that must be ticked. Mm. I believe things come out in the wash anyway as you get to know a person. But I'm not going to sit there and interview a person.
But surely there are deal breakers.
But you need to make it clear that, listen, dude, you're instantly becoming a stepmother to five.
You are one. I get on. And it's a in weird as well.
So, you know, if you're fine with being a stepmother to five, then we can, you know, we can rock and roll.
Mm.
But like I said, I mean, you don't sit and interview a person. Mm. You sit and you get to know a person.
So how did the date go?
It was cool. I mean, there was a follow-up.
Oh.
There was a follow-up, but it was cool. It was cool.
And
no, we haven't smashed.
Okay.
If you're going to go into MACG mode.
Okay. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not into that nasty business. But what I did notice from our last conversation is that a lot of people focused on the fact that you broke up with your now recent ex. And there was a lot of comments about, it must be fresh. Why can't he stay in a relationship? Did you see those comments?
I don't read comments on social media.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Because like I've said to you before, I protect my peace.
Mm.
So you can have your opinions out there. I don't give a damn.
Okay.
Yeah, your opinions are your opinions, and that's what it is. But like I said in the interview, we both fucked up.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't want to get into it because I can't talk on behalf of a person who's not here.
And
because we can't give a person the right to respond, I think it would be unfair to put laundry out there.
Fair enough.
Exactly.
Let's discuss the nails.
Yeah.
Gay, new year, new me, or what?
No, I've done nails before. I remember my daughter did my nails for me. When were you in high school? When did you finish high school?
My last year was 2015.
Probably around 2013, 2014.
Mm.
My daughter did my nails, and I remember I loved them.
You were into them?
No, I loved because she had a little salon. So whenever her mom had visitors, she'd say, "I've got a nail salon, may I do your nails?" And charge them $50. I don't know why you stopped 1D. You'd be rich right
Come
now.
Come on, girl.
1D, you would were so be focused. Rich right now. You know, so she did my nails and I liked them. And then I went to Atlanta to visit my little sister.
Mm.
She's a real estate agent in Atlanta. If you're looking for property in the U.S., she's licensed in most of the states. So please contact my little sister. She'll find you property in the U.S. If you'd like to invest, my sister will sort you out. Mm. Don't ever say I do nothing for you, Mateila, ever. Anyway, so I remember I get to Atlanta, and at the airport, my sister sees my nails.
Mm.
And she's like, "Oh, you came to Atlanta with painted nails, did you?
Do you know what that means?"
And I'm like, "No, what does it mean?" So she was like, "A married men that are, is it 5 to 9ers?
Yeah, 5 to 9. Yeah.
Is it 5 to 9ers? Mm. Married men that are 5 to 9ers.
After 9, actually. After 9ers.
Paint their nails as a way of saying to other men that I'm available for business or I'm open for business. And I remember we went for dinner with my sister and I spent most of the dinner like this. Like, I'm not about to have a dude hit on me. But also, you know, Atlanta has very fine brothers.
Mm.
I might have just fallen for it.
Are the nails painted suggestive? Or you
No. So Lena was doing my nails.
Mm.
And she, so Amu the Baba
has
a salon that she works from, that he works from in Blue Bosland. And Lena is a girl that does nails. She started doing my nails.
Mm.
And about 2 weeks ago, I was like, "No, man, please do yin yang on my thumbs."
Mm.
And then I liked it. I was like, "Let me do
the whole shebang.
Let me just do the whole shebang."
It looks great. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you very much.
Very nice hands there. So I want to go back to Taba Eya, where you went on holiday with your family. And people find it unorthodox. I just want to discuss the fact that, like, do the rest of your family find it weird? Do you think that it's a black people thing where it's like a little bit unorthodox again?
The thing is, it's not like the rest of the family necessarily knew. It's not like we sit there and we announce that we are going on holiday. Bam, bada, bam, bam, bam. you know what I mean? So it's not like we sit and do that. I remember someone asking me on my live on Instagram that what do our partners think about it? Do we discuss it with our partners?
Oh, yeah.
And I said that because I don't have a partner to discuss it with, it wasn't a big deal.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But you need to be so open in your relationships that you make it clear that I might be going on holiday with my kids and their mother.
Mm.
And, you know, for me, the first prize is we all go on holiday. If we're able to all go on holiday.
Yes. What,
and it's not every holiday thing. You know, it's just...
If
it happens, it will happen.
Mm.
So, for instance, on Sunday, we're all spending the day together because the kids are about to go back to school.
Yep.
So on Sunday, we're all getting together. We're all cooking dinner. We're all just catching up and talking about our plans for the year. And we need to normalize that, that your kids should understand that our parents might not be together, but they get along, that they can be friends. That
and
they,
that's dope, yo.
That things can be cordial.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That if mom is not okay, dad will cook for mom. And it's normal.
Mm.
Like, why can't you normalize that?
Do you think it's black people that find it weird? Because I've seen a lot of white family. Like, my own girlfriend has an ex-stepsister.
In fact, generally, like, something like nesting. So nesting is where we divorce.
Yes.
But we still live together.
Uh-huh.
I see a lot of white families that nest.
Doing that, no?
That nest. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. It could be financial. It could be, we don't hate each other, so why should we spend extra money on another property?
Mm-hmm.
But generally, the people who fail to understand it the most are black people. And I don't know if it's because we associate divorce with animosity, hatred, mudslinging, and possibly even death threats.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's what it is.
You
know what I mean? Mm. I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
But my white friends, for them, it's not a big deal that we live together for 3 years
it's
after
normal.
A divorce.
It's normal.
Not even that it's normal. It's, you know, we all have different normals. But it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
It was, oh, okay. And then we moved on. But generally, my white friends are like, you live together. Are you smashing? Like, where the fuck must sex
Stop.
Always be why people think people do something?
Do you hang out with your ex-wife? Like, just the two of you without the kids?
We are not there yet.
Okay.
And not even we're not there yet. We haven't had an opportunity to. Because we've been so busy with our own lives and raising these kids, we haven't had a chance to actually have a sit down, just the two of us.
Like a catch up, Nyana, how's life?
No, we do that. You know, we do that online. We do that on the phone.
Yes,
we'll chat on the phone. We'll chat on WhatsApp.
Okay.
Especially about things to do with the kids. But we haven't really had a sit down.
Okay.
So no.
Let's go back to festive season. Are you well rested? Did you have a good break?
I am not well rested. I'll be lying to you because I've been busy, dude.
Dude, I saw like you were gigging from like a Thursday to a Monday, back to back, like everywhere.
So last night I was in Nelspruit.
Mm.
As you might or might not know, the ANC are in Nelspruit, in Mpumalanga, more in Mpumalanga than in Nelspruit. So I was in Nelspruit last night.
Okay.
This morning I was in Botswana on Gabs FM at 7:40.
Damn.
So from Nelspruit went straight to Botswana. And today I'm in Bots because there's a funeral that I must attend tomorrow. Then Saturday I'm back. So I've been busy, dude.
Your life is like up and
down.
And
I've still been busy. But the wildest was the weekend from the 23rd to the 26th, 27th. We did 12 gigs in 12 towns in 3 days.
Whoa.
And I think we traveled almost 3,000 kilometers.
A superstar level.
So shout out to the good Lord for keeping us.
Safe.
Because it was wild.
Mm.
Like, we were driving at night. It was raining. Sometimes there's a cow randomly in the middle of the road or a donkey. And you're like, that donkey was sent.
to take you out.
You know what I mean? So the fact that we were able to do 12 towns in 3 days, for me, is the good Lord saying, I've got you.
Mm.
Don't stress. When I focus on what you need to do, I'll focus on what I need to do. But having said that, though, it's also, don't try it at home.
Yeah.
It's not for the faint-hearted, and it's one of the reasons I'm on my fitness journey. Without the fitness journey, I wouldn't manage half of the gigs
that you're doing.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Do you drink?
I drink, but in moderation, dude. You'll never see me crawling on the floor.
Yeah. When last were you hungover?
I don't get hungover.
What?
I don't throw up. I don't feel nausea from drinking. I don't get hungover. I've never had a temperature in my life. I'm weird.
As in you don't drink to get to that point, or Miluahao just doesn't do that?
My body is weird.
Wow, must be nice.
Even when I had COVID, my temperature stayed normal.
Damn.
So I don't know if my body fights for me or what it is, but just my body's weird like that.
And with all this busyness and this traveling, especially now in the festive season,
yeah,
the work balance with life and kids and family, how are you balancing all of that out?
Listen, I've had parental guilt probably for the past 21, 25 years.
Parental guilt.
Parental guilt is a real thing. Damn. Where you understand that you have to provide for your kids, but you also feel like you're not there for some of the milestones because you're working so hard to provide for your kids. Mm. You know what I mean? And I deal with parental guilt all the time.
Even till this day?
All the time, dude. So every time I'm planning my week, I'm thinking, where can I do something with the kids? Where can we go out for dinner? Where can we go go-karting? Because the time I spend with the kids also, I want us to do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to go watch a movie and just sit there and be, you know what I mean?
Bond.
Exactly. Mm. So I want us to do stuff. I want us to go go-karting. I want us to ride a bicycle together, kick a ball together, hang out. Like, I partied with my son over the last 6 weeks more than I partied with him in his 21 years on earth.
That's so nice.
You know what I mean? So for me, time spent with your kids is so important.
Mm.
And so I deal with parental guilt every single day of my life for the last 25 years. Not a nice feeling.
Do you think that you have a favorite child?
I don't have a favorite child, but I have something I love about each and every one of them.
Okay. And do you think any of them feel like you have a favorite child?
I think my daughter, Wandi, who's 15, believes she's the favorite. I shan't comment. But like I said, every one of them has something that I love, but also every one of them has something that I'm like, must be from the mother's side of the family.
That's interesting. So your youngest kid, how old is he or she?
Lifika is 8.
Okay.
Lifika arrived unannounced. let me tell you what I mean by he arrived unannounced. So I remember when Wandi was about 3 or 4, she said she wanted a sibling.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, we're going to have our only planned child. And we're gonna
out of 5, by the way.
So we're going to try and conceive. And we tried and we tried and we failed. And then we decided we're going to go to a fertility clinic because we're not going to do the black thing and assume it's the woman's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because often when couples struggle to fall pregnant, it's assumed she's barren or she's of no use to the family. She'll never bear you a son. You know, often women get the short end of that stick.
Right.
When you're failing to conceive or you're unable to conceive. So went to a fertility clinic in, I think a Park Lane clinic.
Okay.
And they ran a battery of tests on both of us. I remember I had to go into a little room.
And, I know about this room.
Yeah.
Bofile magazine.
And fill up a little.
Did they give you a magazine? Could you use your phone or did they give you a magazine?
There was a stash of magazines.
Oh my God.
There was a stash of magazines there. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, I've read this one. There's a great article on communism in this one. You know, so yeah, you go in there, dude. And I think the embarrassing thing about going to that little room is anyone that is outside the room knows what's happening in that room.
It's when you come out.
They know you're knocking out.
Oh, my ears. Oh, my God.
So like I said, we did the whole thing. And it emerged that I was the problem. So apparently my soldiers were lazy.
How?
You know, apparently my soldiers must have smoked weed because they were just chilling. There's like, what, there's an egg?
I don't want
to
do nothing.
Like, what are you supposed to do with this egg, dog? And so... So you know, I had to change by my what I was eating.
Okay.
I was given tablets to take. I had to reduce alcohol or cut out the alcohol. But we're also told though by the specialist that it might also just be anxiety. That a lot of couples trying to fall pregnant often just because of anxiety fail to fall pregnant. So there's also that.
Wow.
So we gave up. And 4 years later, then Lifika showed up.
Unannounced.
So Lifika's 8. He should be 12. You know what I mean? Had my dudes not smoked a doob.
They were just chilling, man.
Chilling there on some, what do you mean there's an egg, dog?
I don't want to do nothing.
Like, I'm chilling,
I'm not
dog.
Trying to nothing.
You know what I mean? I ain't nothing for nothing, you know? So yeah, that's what it is. But yeah, Lefika is 8. He's an incredible kid.
Oh.
He was named by my firstborn, Renee.
Oh.
And what I love about Lefika is he lives up to his name. I believe he is a pillar that has kept everyone together.
Together, no.
Yeah, that's what I believe his purpose on this earth was. And he's an incredible boy. He's very naughty. He's very naughty.
Yeah.
Kid. Yeah. But so, yeah, he's 8.
So I want to go back to the fact that you were doing 12 gigs, 12 cities in 3 days. That just speaks to the fact that, you know, you're still very much relevant.
Sure.
You're still very much sought after.
Mm.
Even after all of these years, do you still find a lot of people still calling up your phone, wanting to still work with you, collaborative efforts, maybe even radio? Because a lot of people, I mean, I know we touched on it, but
yeah.
A lot of people are feeling like we didn't answer the question. Like, are you coming back to radio?
Not this year. If I come back to radio, it'll be 2025.
Thank you so much for being a little bit more specific.
Yeah, no, if I come back to radio, it'll be 2025 because I've got a project I'm working on right now in Bots.
Mm.
And I'll be spending probably the next 4 months every weekend in Bots, working on this project. So unfortunately, I won't be able to do radio.
Yeah.
And as soon as the project is done, we're going to jump into another project.
Yeah.
So radio can only happen next year. If it happens.
If it does happen.
But, you know, when you talk about collaborations,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw the Skomota video where he was in a podcast and he was being asked if he wants to collaborate with anyone.
And he mentioned you.
No. And so he says he wants to collaborate with...
like dead people.
With Ricky Rick. And he was told that, no, Ricky Rick has passed away.
He's passed on, yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, I didn't know. I don't want to... What AKA...
Passed on.
It's like, is Fresh still alive?
I saw that.
It's like, Fresh, what is it? Kim Fanak.
Yeah, Fanak.
And, you know, 1 million people have sent me that video laughing about it.
Mm.
And in my mind, because I think analytically, in my mind, what I was thinking was, and, you know, I'm not going to assume I need to find the right words.
Yeah.
I'm not going to assume what condition Skomota was born with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We don't know.
So I can't make assumptions.
Mm.
But generally what we find, though, is kids that seem slower than others are often ostracized.
They are
often treated differently. In fact, some families even lock them up.
But yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember I did a donation at a home in Edenvale for kids with special needs. And one of the sisters there was telling me that, you know, there's kids who've been in this home for 5 years and family members have never once come back.
Sure.
They literally dump them there and leave them there and they must look after them. And I'll tell you why I'm telling you the story.
Mm-hmm.
So as Skomota is doing this interview, in my mind, I'm thinking, here's this former child that has these people that he'd like to work with. So in my mind, I'm thinking, even with whatever condition he may or may not have, these are people to him that have had such an impact on popular culture in this country that are memorable to him. So that's how I thought about
it. How you interpreted it.
That's how I interpreted that, that we had such an impact not only on him, but on popular culture, that we are the names that he remembers.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And for me, that is very powerful, that wherever you are, whatever industry you are in, how much of an impact have you made that you'll have people say, I want to work with that person?
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's how I've interpreted what Skomota was saying, that you can go wherever you want to go in this country. Those three names have been impactful. And that's what I always tell broadcasters. Be of such high impact. Be so memorable that people will never forget you.
And would you say that's how you stood the test of time? Because you're still getting booked like crazy. You haven't been on radio in years, which is what we...
Just 3 years.
That's years, bro. In radio, that's years.
I know.
And so having been off radio for 3 years, but yet... You're still one of the most booked DJs in our country. Like, how did you stand the test of time?
You know what it is? I think the first mistake a lot of DJs make is wanting to depend on being on radio to get gigs. Wanting to depend on being a guest DJ on a radio show every week to get gigs. You need to kick so much ass that you get gigs, regardless of whether you're on radio or not. You know what I mean? You need to bring so much value to events that you get booked, whether or not you're on radio. If you can manage to do that, you'll have a longer career than people that are on radio. Because radio for them is a crutch.
Yeah.
And minus that radio, they ain't shit.
There's nothing.
And that's what you need to strive for. You need to be like a Vinny and a Christos. Mm-hmm. I found Vinny and Christos in this industry. Vinny and Christos were my mentors when I was still a teenager. They are still in this industry.
They still.
I was gigging with Vinny just last Sunday in Durban. Vinny and Christos are still relevant because they kick ass at what they do. But also that humility also goes a long way. So that's what you need to do, dude. You need to kick ass at that level. That people see the value that you bring whenever they book you. If you're not bringing value, you're not going to get booked.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And it's on top of the fact that now you're competing with actresses that are DJing.
Influencers
that are DJing. Mm-hmm. So it's proper DJs against everyone else trying to get the same gigs. Mm. And the number of gigs haven't necessarily grown. So now the pie might not be growing, but the number of DJs are growing that want a piece of that pie.
That pie, no?
So what are you doing to set yourself apart? That is the question. What makes you different?
Yeah.
Why must I book you over someone who can flash their titties and fill up a room?
Exactly.
Not with the titties, though, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I want to discuss, like, the radio thing, right? I actually lost my train of thought. Please give me a moment.
Okay.
Yes.
I love it when people admit they lost their train of thought.
I lost my train of thought. So
do you know that I've often lost my train of thought?
And then you just ramble.
In the 31 years that I've done this,
mm-hmm.
I've often lost my train of thought. You're the first person I've heard admit it.
Really?
I never admit it, dude. I will panic inside.
And then where am I safe? What am I
safe? No, I will find something else to jump onto because my mind is fast.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have been blessed with a quick mind.
Yeah.
So I'll find something.
Mm.
But I've never once admitted I lost my train of thought. So I have nothing but respect for the fact that you've admitted.
Thank you.
That you lost your
I'm embarrassed, but thank you. So before it's Tama from Daba AR Radio, once asked you this conversation in private.
Mm.
And I get it, we're gonna Cat Williams this thing. So what's the most amount of money you've made on radio? I'm talking in 1 month. For a show that you're doing, I'm talking including endorsements, voiceovers.
Yeah, but Cat Williams never told you about how much money he made.
How he was telling us about other people's money.
Exactly.
Because I'm a radio host as well, and I'm aspiring to, you know, have a 30-year-old career one day. So, your highest paying radio gig, where was it and how much was it?
I'm not going to tell you the amount necessarily. But there was a time at the SABC where we were paid even for live reads.
Damn.
So that time at 5 when I was doing the afternoon show,
mm-hmm.
we're still paid for live reads. So you do your invoice for the hours worked,
okay.
but you'd also invoice for your live reads.
And mind you, there are like probably 4 live reads per hour, if like minimum 4
exactly.
on a drive-time show of that stature.
So the money was decent.
Over, can I say over something and then you say yes or no?
You can try.
I'm thinking 5 SABC fresh, nothing below 4K. Am I wrong or right?
It's about the ballpark. aboutish.
Damn, where are the applause here? They're not here, Mara. Damn. Clap, clap, clap. That shit is crazy.
You are crazy.
I'm making a fraction of that, but anyway.
You are crazy.
Now I want to talk about collaborations. I guess Komota would say, like,
sure.
if you could, definitely you. And we know that you stood the test of time.
You know what? I'm actually going to find Komota and we're going to do a track
with him. Please do something with him.
Yeah.
Please do something with him.
We're going to call him to Don Boshaba Studios and we're going to do a collaboration with him.
How do you choose who to collaborate with? Do you have like a certain checkbox list or is it things that speak to you? How do you like make decisions? If someone comes to me, this is what I'll actually want.
First things first, not to sound like a chakra chick. Energy is everything.
Okay.
My blood can feel your energy. If my energy doesn't vibe with your energy, I'm not going to work with
you. So immediately no.
That people I've turned down lucrative deals with because the energy was wrong. The energy was just wrong. And often when I look back at how that project ended up going, I was right.
Sure.
I've never turned down a deal based on energy, looked back a year later
and been wrong about it.
Mm. You know what I mean? So for me, energy is everything. And I think secondly, I'll never collaborate with anyone I can't learn anything from.
Okay.
Because people assume that because you're mentoring someone or you're collaborating with someone, that you are the trump card, that, you know, they're learning, they're there to learn from you. That they're there to suckle from your lactating breast of knowledge. Oh, wow. That's actually a dope statement.
Okay.
But one of the reasons I am quick to put people on, one of the reasons I'm quick to collaborate with people is because once everything is said and done, I probably learn more from them than they learn from me. Because they're coming in with fresh ideas. They're coming in with the benefits of... Sometimes being naive is the best secret weapon you can bring to any table. Because for you, nothing is impossible. Because you're naive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. But when you have the experience that I have, sadly, you also fall into the trap of knowing what doesn't work and maybe not wanting to revisit it. But someone who's naive might want to knock on the door again and show you why we should knock on the door again. That is why I am quick to collaborate with younger minds, with younger talents. So that is the secret, though. And I remember when Vusi Tembegwayo interviewed me about four years ago,
I
spoke about that. That, you know, someone's light is someone's light. But your lights combined give you a bigger... light of what else is out there.
Glimmers.
Exactly. And that's what a collaboration is. There's Lula's light that may be shining here. There's Fresh's light that shines there. If we bring them together...
Illumination.
We can see so much further. We can do so much more. We can take over more of the world than if we're not collaborating.
Yeah.
So that's what I do with collaborations. If I'm not going to learn from you, I'm not going to work with you.
Yeah.
Because then you're bringing... almost nothing to the collective table. So for me, it's important that, but also you need to be driven, dude. I'm not going to collaborate with someone that's not driven. And I always, you know, people always say to me, yo, you made so many careers. I think those careers would have been made eventually.
Either way.
But I realize that I might have the key to catapult them further than where they are currently. But it was people who were going to win anyway. So if I know you're going to win eventually, I might want to collaborate with you.
That's deep, man.
You know what I mean?
I'm a recipient of like that gift
Exactly. Yeah. That if you're not driven enough to carry yourself, I'm not going to carry you for yourself. But if I see that this person is driven, they just need a bit of direction, a bit of mentoring, a bit of, dude, there's, that door there is the door you want to you want to go to. Then I'll collaborate with that person. Yeah. Then I'll mentor that person. Then I will want to fucks with that person.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Speaking of mentoring and all of that, a little birdie actually told me that on O Ship, you reunited with your very first manager.
Yo.
Tell me about that. What, did it take you back in time? Did you like have that moment of, damn, I've come so far?
So, Gina. So YFM is a brand new radio station. And I think Gina was... she worked in traffic in the sales department.
Okay, yes.
So she was also a very young kid at the time.
Mm.
And I remember I was starting to get very booked and very busy. This is like 98, literally less than a year in. I was starting to get like so booked and busy that I was okay, I need to do something. I'm going to start having bookings fall through the cracks. And I said to Gina, I'd like to poach you from YFM. To come and manage me and manage my bookings.
No. So you mean you told this woman to leave her job?
To come and manage me.
No, and she did it?
But also, don't forget, YFM was such a new station at the time. We were all getting paid shit anyway.
Oh, okay. So it's not like she had much to
Dude, I was doing the drive show. I was getting $4,500. I was doing the afternoon drive show. And Randall said to me, all I can give you is 4.5 right now.
And the 4.5 is nearly like Bukai at that time.
4.5. I was staying in a bachelor flat. My bachelor flat cost me like $900.
Okay, so 4.5.
So wasn't too bad.
Really, it wasn't great, but
it wasn't great.
It wasn't awful.
But it was a drive show. Yeah. But also, it's a brand new radio station.
Sure.
But I remember once our audience figures came out, I think everyone's salary was doubled.
Okay.
So I went from 4.5 to almost 10. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But so yeah, like I said, everyone was getting paid crappishly. Mm-hmm. I mean, even my DJ rate at the time was like R1,000, I think.
Per pop.
Pop or 1,500.
And now it's
so then I say to Gina, listen, Gene, I need you to come work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina came work for me. We found office space in near the SABC, literally near where BMG Records used to be, across the road from Labori.
Yes,
there's office parks like deeper in there. So we had an office there, and yeah, Gina was my first manager, and literally we were learning how to do this thing together. You know what I mean? And then obviously the tobacco companies started throwing money around, buying their reps, cars, and everything else. And one of the tobacco companies offered Gina a job. And I remember we had like a tough conversation because she wanted this job badly. And I understood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I had to, you know, allow her to fly and go do what she needed to do. So to see her on O-Ship was incredible.
And how long hadn't you seen her for?
I haven't seen Gina probably since 1999.
No way. What?
Yeah.
And how is she?
Like, she's cool. She's married. She's, I think, in Mpumalanga running a whole bunch of casinos and stuff. So she's done well for herself.
That's amazing.
Gina, I love you. Thank you for tolerating my... Because I hold everyone to a very high standard. Like a very high standard. Mm. And I expect you to deliver at that standard.
For sure.
So she caught her fair share of, I expect better from you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? and a part of me would like to think her current work ethic was built then.
Mm.
And Proverb will tell you the same thing, that his current work ethic was honed working for me, producing my breakfast show at YFM.
Proverb,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Shout out to Provo. I love him to bits. Like, yeah. What a great guy.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated to know who, even in your first year, go why you already had an office space.
No, I didn't have an office space. I eventually found an office space.
Okay. Yeah. But still, this is like in your genesis into like Joburg, this radio space, you know, popping and all of that. Since back then, you've been on.
It's important to treat what you do like you would any other business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I remember at the time, myself and Glenn Lewis were probably the first two DJs to have websites.
Heaven.
You know what I mean? With booking details, photo galleries, and everything else. When no one else was doing it, myself and Glenn Lewis had websites. In fact, at some stage, myself and Glenn Lewis had the same business manager and shared the same office space. You know what I mean?
Yo, you guys were really going
So I think it's important to operate at the level at which you'd like to be perceived. Even if you're not at that level yet. And also, if you operate at the level at which you'd like to be perceived, it becomes easier to step into that role when you get to that role. But if you're operating like a spaza, you'll always operate at that spaza level when grand, you want to be a corporation. So let's perceive you as a corporation, even at your spaza level, because that's how you see yourself. Because how you see yourself, even in 5 years' time, is very important now. Especially if you believe in the power of your mind, the power of manifestation. It's you know, that's what I always tell my friends. Be careful what you say about yourself, to yourself. If you think you're a klutz, if you think you're a fuck up, trust me, you are.
I want to challenge that. Not really challenge, I want to interrogate that a little bit, because I've recently come to terms with the power of manifestation, how we're the most powerful beings in the world because of our minds,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Naturally, we all have negative thoughts. Mm. How do you, as Fresh, combat that to become healthy? Like, of course, like maybe, like, damn, I'm clumsy. But then you quickly want to, how do you do that?
You know what? I don't dwell for too long on anything that goes wrong.
But you allow yourself to feel it.
No, I go through the feelings.
Okay.
I'm the first one to always say, as Winston Churchill would say, if you're going through hell, keep going. Mm. Keep it moving. Dude, I move fast.
Yeah.
I move on very fast. And a part of me believes it might not be healthy how fast I'm able to move on. Mm. Even from losing a person to death, I'm able to process it and move on.
Quickly.
And not to say I've forgotten that person, but I learned to deal with it that it doesn't debilitate me. Then I can keep moving. And one of the reasons I'm a strong believer in the power of manifestation is because every single milestone I've hit,
yeah,
I spoke of when I was a child. Every single one.
That's rad.
Whether it's the job I do, the kind of house I live in. I mean, when I was 8 years old and we first came to Joburg with my parents, I told my parents, I'm going to live in the city one day. I was 8.
Oh.
You know what I mean? We're living down the road here in Joburg Park. When I told my parents, I'm going to live in this city one day. I remember when my dad came to drop me off in Joburg, January 1995, to start my media studies diploma with Boston City Campus and Rand Afrikaans University, which is now UJ. And when my dad was dropping me off, he went to North Riding, to buy 2 Alsatians because there was a dog breeder in North Riding. And I remember saying to my dad, I'm going to buy a plot here one day. That's where we bought a plot 12, 13 years ago. In the same, literally not far from where we bought those Alsatians.
Oh.
Because that is the mental picture I created for myself, that this is where I want to go.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that, and in fact, I'll even take it a step further. And I laughed when I'm reading Will Smith's biography, where he talks about South Fork Ranch. So South Fork Ranch is a South Fork in Dallas. So Dallas was this massive soapy in the 80s.
Okay.
And maybe a bit of the 70s. It was mainly actually the late 70s. It's set in Dallas. It's an oil-rich family and all the drama that happens in that family.
Okay, so give the bold yachale.
It's, in essence. And I remember Dallas was huge. So, you'd sit with your parents and watch Dallas.
Okay.
And, it didn't help that I had a crush on, I think her name is Charlene Tilton.
Okay.
Tiny little woman with huge breasts. I had like a massive crush on her. I was like 8 or 9. I was like, geez, Charlene. But anyway. And I remember saying to my mom, I want a property where I will drive a bit to get
to the house.
To get to the house.
Sure.
And that was inspired by South Fork Ranch in Dallas. And as fate would have it, that's what I managed to get because I put it in my head and I worked towards it. And like I said, every milestone I've hit, I manifested in my head. It happened in my head first.
Wow.
When I was a child. Hence, I said, be careful what you say, dude.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say.
Did you always know you were special?
Yes. I knew I was going to do big things. I knew I was going to do special things. I knew I was going to touch people's lives positively. And I started knowing this probably from the age of 13. In high school, we were forced to do... So in high school, in your first year, it was form 1 then. I think it's grade 8 now.
Yeah.
Is in our school, you're forced to do one sport, one club, and one service.
What's a club?
So a club could be anything like debating club.
Or like chess.
Chess club, okay. Leather making. But you also had to do one service.
Okay.
And I chose teaching for a service. So every Monday, we would go to a primary school in a village outside Gaborone and teach, do extra lessons for these kids.
Wow.
And these kids, English was not their first language.
Mm.
So I was teaching English, doing English extra lessons for these kids at the age of 13. And already I could see the impact of that service at the time. And I understood that, this can't be a mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then my mom started doing work with Childline. So sometimes I'd go sit with her at the Childline office because her service at Childline was you sit and you wait for phone calls, basically. If there's a child in distress, they'll call and then they will take care of it and they'll call in social workers.
Mm.
So seeing my mom in action doing all of that also and her saying to me, you know, if you are able to be of service to someone, do it, especially if it takes nothing away from you. So already that was instilled in me from an early age, thanks to my high school, thanks to my mom. So already I knew I would touch lives and impact lives in a positive way. Okay. Like I've always known it.
Yeah. And look, testament to
that. And I'm not done. And I'm not done.
Well,
I am not done.
I want to talk about the radio industry, of course, because, you know, that's essentially what I love. What do you hate hearing on radio in 2024?
What I hate hearing on radio is the fact that too many people on radio are winging it. Like, not, there's zero prep.
There's no prep, no?
There's zero prep. And if there's prep, you can tell that, oh, this is from the same website the other show that I was listening to went to. People are not putting effort and creativity into that radio anymore. And for me, it's a problem. And the fact that there's program managers that are listening to half of the radio shows right now, and they see nothing wrong with it. They see nothing wrong with the hearing that this show was not prepped. That link was not prepped. There was nothing that was put into that link. Like, why are you cutting a damn good song to say nothing of value? I'm from a school of, if what you're about to say is not hotter than the next song.
Yes.
Play the next song. That's the radio I was raised on. That's the school of radio I'm from. If you're going to throw forward, why are you going to be lazy and say, for instance, I don't know, I'll just give you an example, that coming up after the news, I don't know, a track by AKA, when you could tell us about coming up next after the news is a track by an artist that impacted my life so much that it changed the way I view the world, for instance.
Some substance.
But also enough to have people thinking, what on earth is that song? I want to tune in. Because I want to know what the song is.
Yeah.
But because we're so lazy and we refuse to think and to put effort into radio and to create content that will set you apart from everyone else, everyone is sounding the same, regurgitating the same topics. Content. Right now we're talking about New Year's resolutions, we're talking about black tax, we're talking about, are you still working from... It's the same shit, dude. It's boring. Even breakfast radio has become boring. I think one of the few people still making an effort is Anele. One of the few people still making an effort on breakfast radio is Anele.
And she's well prepped, eh?
Because she understands. You know, Grant used to say to me, when you leave your breakfast show, if you don't want to take a break for an hour or two because you're that exhausted, then you didn't do a breakfast show.
It was a whack show.
You didn't do a breakfast show. Shit. You must never have time to do anything during your show. Because you're worried about the next link. You're prepping for the next hour. That's how busy you must be. You know what I mean? That's how much prep you must put into the show. There's still a saying that for every hour of radio, you must put in an hour or two of prep.
That's true.
Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Guys just don't care. And I blame management. I don't blame the DJs. I blame management. Because half the managers actually are not radio leaders. They're not radio managers. They let you get away with shit. If you ask your average radio person right now, when last did your manager sit you down for a Snoop session? For those that don't know, a Snoop session is basically a recording of elements of your show that you listen back to.
With your boss.
With your boss.
Yeah.
And in fact, not even your boss, with your leader.
Yes.
Because that's what they should be doing. They should be inspiring you to do and make better radio.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I miss Grant's leadership in radio. Dude, Grant will make you sit down for an hour to listen to your show.
And the cringe that you get.
But will never once make you feel like shit.
Never.
Will never once make you feel like you're a klutz. Mm. And he will say to you, for instance, if you did something that broke every radio rule, he'll say to you, I would have done it like this.
Exactly.
To show you other ways you could have done a better job. Radio managers are not doing that.
Shout out to Grant, and I'm so grateful that I actually had an opportunity for him to teach me some things as well.
Yeah.
We are running out of time, but the one thing I did want to ask you is, Skolo Sa Fresh.
Yeah.
Ne, what are some of the things that people could learn from you? And I'm not talking radio or DJing.
Mm.
The School of Fresh.
Okay.
What are the courses and what are we learning?
I think humility first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you always preach this, hey?
Dude, humility has opened doors for me that my talent
could never.
And my name might not have opened.
Wow.
Just because I was humble. Just because I treated someone with a bit of dignity. People don't forget how you make them feel. People don't forget the fact that you see them. Mm. And humility will get you so far, dude. Mm. And that's one of the reasons, for instance, Enosquito is still in the industry. Christos, Vinny, Glenn Lewis. These guys have been doing this for over 30 years. They're still gigging. Mm. There's a dude that had one hit 5 years ago that's not in the industry anymore because failed to be humble. Because thought sun shines out of my bum. Mm-hmm. It might have shone out of your bum for the duration of your one hit. But how do you sustain your career? Your humility is a good start. Don't sleep on yourself. A lot of us sleep on ourselves, dude.
Mm.
We sleep on ourselves. You have talents that, because either it's doubt, whether it's self-doubt, whether it's because an auntie of yours told you, but you're useless. You're going to be on radio. Who do you think? You know what I mean? Don't sleep on yourself. Don't sleep on your talent. Rather have the confidence of, there's a saying, have the confidence of a construction worker hitting on a girl that he knows he has no chance with.
Love that.
That is the level of confidence you should have in your talents and abilities. Mm. That even if I miss, I know that one day I'm going to hit. If I didn't believe in my talent, I would have stopped looking for radio gigs. I mean, I spent 5 years, 92, 3, 4, 5, and 6. 5 years, if not 6 years, sending out radio demos.
6 years?
6 years of sending radio demos almost every day.
With no reply?
Zero reply.
For 6 years?
Zero reply.
Damn.
But because I understood that, you know, let me in the door once. Linyile. I understood that. You know what I mean? Mm. And I was sending these radio demos from the age of 18, 19 already. Mm. I was sending these demos.
Sure.
You know what I mean? My YFM break happened just before I was 24.
What? Yo.
But because I refused to sleep on myself, I understood the value I will bring to the person that allows me in the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hence, I say, don't sleep on yourself.
Yeah.
And you know if you're bringing value. You know if you're a shit singer. You know all of that.
You know when you're an asset, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I knew exactly what I was bringing to the table. Mm. And all I needed was just that one chance. And the minute that chance happened, every other door opened. And there's doors still opening to this day because I refuse to sleep on myself.
Okay.
Another thing you need to do is remember to be dependable on. Know that if you've booked Lula, Lula's going to show up. Know that Lula's going to kick butt. Know that Lula is going to add value to my venue, to my project, to whatever I've booked Lula for.
Right, yeah.
Be of value. It mustn't be that, ish, why did we book this person? Mm-hmm. We don't understand why we booked this person. Yes, it was a recommendation, but we don't understand why we booked this person. People must never ever doubt that you are of value. And that you're bankable. I think that is so, so important. And we sleep on that.
Yeah.
We sleep on that. What else from the School of Fresh?
Something about health, maybe?
Don't be afraid to open doors for other people.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been opening doors for almost 30 years, dude. And I continue to do it. And I'll continue to do it. Because a healthier industry, I believe, makes for a healthier injection of new talent all the time makes for a healthier industry. So I will never fear letting someone in because I know that they will never do what I can do. Mm. They'll never bring what I bring. That is why I've always been the radio guy that is fine with Lula speaking when it's time for Lula to speak. I'll never block you from shining on my own radio show, even if we're co-hosting, because I know you'll never be me. But I know that if I allow Lula to be the best Lula possible, we're doing a kick-ass show then. Because you're coming to work looking forward to the fact that you know your mic will be on. You know your opinion matters. You know you'll be allowed to shine. Mm. Can you imagine people that are co-hosting but almost feel like they're visitors?
Yeah.
Almost feel like, ish, I hope I'm allowed to say something.
And it's real, that thing that you're talking about.
No, it is so real. And one of the reasons it happens is because people are insecure. People are insecure in their own talent, or people are almost shocked that they've gone that far, that they're not going to let anyone in case they take it away from them. Exactly. Mm. So I'm a firm believer in let as many people in as possible. It can only grow you. The pressure from working with extremely talented people can only grow you. Yeah. It's not going to take anything from you. So even if, for argument's sake, you lost your job to someone who you brought in or was more talented than you, now you've learned a lesson. What are you going to do to regroup and come back bigger, better, stronger? And if you don't learn from that, then you wasted a crisis.
You wasted a crisis.
Never, ever waste a crisis.
Crises are not to be wasted.
Dude, is it crises or crises? And when I jola lelo kwa and I don't, so I can say pile
wen.
Crises. It's crises, right?
Is it crises or crises?
Crises must never...
It's crises.
Dude, never even waste the crisis you are in the middle of. I remember interviewing Euphonic, and we're talking about the shit we went through with Nampri and everyone else. And he was actually speaking about how grateful he is that he's been through that. Because now he knows exactly how strong he is and how much higher he can fly. And that had that not happened, had all that we lost not happened, we wouldn't have known what other... arms and ammunition we have in our arsenals of talent. Wouldn't have known what else we're able to do. Wouldn't have known what other doors we can open. That's called not wasting the crisis you're going through. You can sit in the corner and cry and feel sorry for yourself. Or you can say, oh shit, I'm in hell. One, I want to keep going. Two, what can I learn from this? And three, has it grown me in any way? That's another thing we can learn from evolution. Evolution is basically either your body or the earth or biology saying, okay, we need to, what is it called? We need to adapt or die. That's what evolution is.
That's adapting or dying.
Evolution is adapt or die. How are you applying the theory of evolution? Whether you believe in evolution or not, how are you applying it in your life and in the crises you're going through?
Nah, and if you didn't go through that, you wouldn't
know. So if you're not growing in your crisis, then you're fucking around, dude. I'm sorry for swearing.
And crises are always going to be there. It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
But instead, we'd rather say, my auntie's bewitching me or someone closed the door on me. Then, okay, I'm in the dwang. How am I going to get out of the dwang? How am I going to grow from the dwang? How am I going to benefit from that growth and turn it into something else? So you have all those choices. So for instance, for me, going through the crisis that we went through, for instance, with Euphonic, I also learned the people I can depend on, the people I can't depend on. Because you have so many people in your circle. You have so many people who you feel or believe have your back until you need them the most. Then you realize, oh, okay, so that person was here for the benefits. Okay, that person was never really here. Okay, so that person was in my circle, but not in my corner. Because there's a difference. Don't mistake someone in your circle to being someone in your corner. Some people are in your circle just for the benefit, but not really in your corner. And you realize it, like I said, from when the shit hits the fan. You know what I mean?
I do.
I remember there was a time where, because of all that we lost, you know, there was a time where you're literally also dealing with COVID. You know what I mean? You're dealing with the loss of income. And I remember, you know, and I don't want to put him out there like this. And may he heal from the incident in the plane. And I remember Black Coffee asking me, are you okay? Do you need anything? And I was honest with him that, listen, I'm short here, I'm short there, I'm short there. And he's like, oh, no, send me your bank account details.
And he held you down.
And he held me down.
Yeah.
And when I wanted to pay him back, he's like, no, dude, you've done so much for our industry. I don't want you to pay me back. You know what I mean? And you know, Oskido did the same. Oskido's like, dude, are you fine? What do you need? Oskido himself was like, no, you're not paying me back. You've done so much for our industry. I don't want you to pay me back. Yep. And hence, I'm glad I went through the shit I went through. Because now I know the people that are in my corner. And someone in your corner is someone as simple as just calling you. Dude, how are you doing? How are the kids? Do you have food on the table? Are you okay? No, really, are you okay? But unfortunately, when you're in the middle of a crisis, a lot of people will not be available.
Yeah.
So sometimes a crisis is what you need. A crisis is a purge sometimes. Yes. Because it allows you to know who to fucks with and who not to fucks with.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for every single thing I've been through.
Yeah.
Whether now or as a child. Even the shit I went through as a child grew me. The fact that I was teased a lot as a child, it grew me because I developed a thick skin. So the question is, are you going to play victim or are you going to allow the shit you go through to grow you? That's what I want to teach at the School of Fresh.
Shit must grow you like manure grows grass, young tall.
Exactly.
And that's how we say goodbye, all right? So I just want to close up, please.
Are we done?
We are, unfortunately. Can I get the end? My closing link. Okay, are we here? Unfortunately, Uncle Fresh, we have to... And this is part two. I wish we had a part three. Mara, you know what? We'll do it mid-year.
We'll do a part three mid-year.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but I want to put you under pressure and say, we want to let people audition for it. Yeah, it might not be you.
That's fine. I got the two. And unfortunately for me, that's where I think we're going to have to call it. I want to thank you so much for being candid, Uncle Fresh. And thank you for this great opportunity to interact with you. And I hope, or rather, we hope that we've delivered more of what you all wanted. And we appreciate all the comments, all the positivity. So please don't stop. And thank you once again for joining us on a special edition of Wow, What a Week featuring DJ Fresh as a guest.
No, but also appreciate the negativity, though. Because negativity is also perspective.
Mm.
You must never ever think your life is black or white. It's black and white, and there's nuances in between.
Mm.
So never ever just want to hear the good things.
Right.
So even from the bad shit people say about you, or where you think I've got haters, sometimes listen to what is being said. Because there might be something that you need to hear in order to grow yourself. I say again, you can grow from anything. You just need to find that opportunity.
Drops the mic. It's cool. It's the middle of January, which means that budgets are stretched, sometimes to a point where there isn't much budget left, right? So a special thanks to you for spending money on that data to watch these episodes. We appreciate you joining us, watching us, and supporting us. Here's to hoping that you're able to stretch your budget a little bit more to last you through the month. Thank you once again for joining us on another special recording. Wishing you a wow week ahead. From myself, Lula Odiba, till next time. Bye.
Thank you, Lula Odiba, for an incredible episode. Coming to you from Amped Studios, downtown Johannesburg, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network, and we'd like to thank our cinematographer, Pezulu Works, Trevor, your team, shout out to you. Artist The Flow Fraser for making sure that we're always sounding good with all of that imaging. Shout out also to the show producers, Kuvesh Mohan and Kiletso Mudisa King. Until next week, have yourselves a wow week in spite of yourselves.